pitchers and catchers reporting at the end of this month, and that means we will actually have baseball. Spring training baseball, but baseball to talk about and witness on our television set soon enough. Blue Jays open up their spring training schedule Tuesday, March the 3rd. So less than a month, they will be playing down in Dunedin, and lots to decide before opening day, which is on April 6th this season. A little late start to the regular season because April starts on a Wednesday, but Blue Jays are at Yankee Stadium for the Yankees home opener to open up the year on April 2nd. They start on the road for three against the Yankees, then they are in Baltimore for three before returning home, four against those Tampa Bay Rays, and then, hate this, interleague play in the first month of the season, home against the Rays for four, and then home against the Braves for three, which stinks. Mike Wilner joins us on the line right now, host of Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. First of all, great Super Bowl party. Good job.
Thank you. First, you have to check your dates, though.
What?
Season doesn't open on April 2nd.
I said 6th.
April 6th. No, you said 2nd.
Oh, did I? I meant April 6th.
There you go.
Yeah, that's no good, right? Braves in the first month?
You know what? It's the new reality.
I know. I hate it.
I don't like it either, but that's what we're stuck with at the moment. So that's what we have to deal with, and that's what we're going to deal with.
I guess so. You dealt with the state of the franchise this week down at Rogers Center. You had a firsthand look at the new field turf that we hope is just going to have a lifespan of a couple years, and it'll be real grass in there for 2018. What does the new stuff look like?
Well, it's AstroTurf, just like the old stuff. They haven't had field turf there for a while. But
what's the difference? It's just a company?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. It's like saying Kleenex?
That's right.
Okay.
Band-Aid, Kleenex, that sort of thing. It looks all right, and it's not done. It's in long strips instead of those little rectangular boxes, which I think is probably going to be an improvement. And you can see that when it's brushed properly, the seams almost completely disappear, which is great. The rubber is not in it yet. They're going to have to put those little rubber balls in there at some point in time. And hopefully the fact that it's only going to be in there for 3 years will help a lot with, you know, it's all the rolling it up and putting it down and,
yeah,
and back and forth like that really flattens it out and hardens it. So hopefully that won't be as much of an issue since it's not going to be there that long.
Listen, I'm all in favor of real grass. I've been very vocal supporter of real grass. Who's not? But we can put a man on the moon, Mike. How come we can't have AstroTurf that actually plays like real grass? Same thing, an electric car. Really? Like, we can't figure that out? We can't figure out how to make synthetic grass act exactly like real grass?
Well, if you want to get deep into it right now, there's no viable electric car because of the oil companies.
Yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay,
that has nothing to do with conspiracy. Sure. It's all about dough. But I don't know why they can't make synthetic grass that plays like the real thing. But probably because you need like mounds of earth underneath it, or even synthetic earth underneath.
So why not do that?
I don't know. You saw that I tweeted a picture, or whoever saw, I tweeted a picture of not just the new turf, but I rolled it up to see underneath and how thin the floor of it is, and it's nothing. It's just a tiny little nothing laid on the concrete. So I think that's probably the biggest reason that it doesn't play like real grass is because it's really just, I mean, as high as it is and as much rubber packing as they can put in there, it's just a thin strip on top of concrete.
Yeah, I'm looking at that picture right now, and you can follow Mike, obviously, at Wilderness 590. They're not just going to lay that on the concrete like that, are they? Like, I'm looking at that picture. It is literally like just a thin piece of rubber just down on concrete. Is that how it's gonna? That's how it's gonna work?
Yep.
That's horrible. That doesn't look good.
It's gonna be packed with those little rubber balls in there to cushion it a little bit more. And the grass it's not short, so it's not like the carpet that there used to be at the Big O and at the X.
Yeah.
But it's not thick and lush either.
So it's now in the hands of the eggheads, Mike. Guelph University, they have to come up with the plan. They have to figure out how to grow the grass. They have to figure out how to dig up the concrete. And they have to figure out how to do it in just one off season. Maybe after a playoff run. So maybe it has to start in November. It's going to be complicated. And it's never been done before, I guess, I want to say. I don't know if it is.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, there have been turf fields that have converted to grass.
Yeah, but no ballpark that is an indoor stadium, because Rogers Center is an indoor stadium.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough to say. I don't know. And Paul Beeson seemed to think the biggest issue was going to be with the air currents, and I get that. I remember when I was in, I'm pretty sure it was Milwaukee, that there were these massive fans down the first and third baselines. And not massive as in Wisconsin cheese-eating huge Americans, but like big fans that blow air and stuff. And that was to get the air currents moving in the proper way around to help the grass grow. So apparently that's the biggest issue. But it's a massive undertaking to, you know, you got to take out the floor. You got to, I don't know what the heck, you got to put in a drainage system somehow. And to do it all in 5 months is... it's a lot, and to grow grass in there, right? Especially when you're starting in the winter.
Right.
So it's a pretty big deal. And when I asked Beeston if it could be done in one off season, he said he didn't know. and that's part of what the eggheads are going to be trying to figure out.
I wonder, and he didn't disclose any dollar figures, but I wonder if there's any part of this deal where there is an incentive to get this thing done for 2018. I wonder how set on 2018 this team is.
I think they're pretty set on 2018. I think they want to do it as soon as they possibly can. And yeah, there's no dollar figure. I know the study that they commissioned with the University of Guelph cost $600,000, but that's the only dollar figure.
There goes your reliever. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Was there also any talk about this? I mentioned it's an indoor stadium, and yeah, drainage is going to have to be a big part of it. But in the baseball months, is it going to be default roof open April if it's 10 degrees, if it's 5 degrees, but, you know, it's not raining, roof is going to be open? Was there any talk about that?
No, there was no talk about that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Moving on then, I guess. That's it as far as grass. Was there any talk about bringing craft beers back to Rogers Center?
No, somebody did tweet me about that after the event. But no, the alcohol was not mentioned at all.
Well, that's a mistake. Was there talk about getting hot water in the faucets in the bathroom?
No talk about the concessions, no talk about the bathrooms, no talk about any of that stuff.
What did you think about the reaction to Paul Beeston? Largely... a standing ovation, some smattering of booze. I guess there's going to be morons everywhere, right?
Yeah, I don't know that Beeston got booed. There was that huge standing ovation for him. There were a couple of boos for Alex and a couple of boos for Gibby. I guess they're serving free beer. That's what happens.
They were?
I think so, yeah.
Free beer? Okay.
I believe so. But for the most part, people for Beeston anyway were just, I mean, really, really, he was very well received.
Understandably so, the franchise's first employee. So there's been a lot of talk. I feel like the overwhelming storyline when projecting this team into next season and wondering how things are going to be covered in spring training, a lot of it centers around Aaron Sanchez and whether he's going to be in the bullpen, whether he's going to be in the rotation. And every day, every week that goes by and the Blue Jays don't sign a reliever, I guess the narrative continues to change. And in my opinion, it seems more and more likely that he is destined for the bullpen. I guess maybe firstly, are you surprised still that we're not talking about some kind of reliever, whether it's a minor league deal guy like a Ronald Belisario, who they tried to sign, that fell through, or a John Axford who was signed as well. Are you surprised we haven't seen anything like that yet?
Not at the price that Axford went for. I mean, he's got a very reachable $4 million major league contract with incentives, which is too much for, I mean, you know, Casey Jansen got $5 million, and John Axford is coming off a terrible year, might get four. I think that what happens is people see what's out there and think it's so much better than what the Blue Jays have. But really, once David Robertson and Andrew Miller were off the market, there was no phenomenal relief ace out there. I know K-Rod's still sitting there, and Rafael Soriano is still sitting there too. And those are guys who've had a lot of success, but there's a reason they're still out there.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that they're going to have to take not a lot of money, and one of them could very well wind up here still if they're willing to. If the Blue Jays are the ones whose small offer that everybody else is making them is the one that they choose to accept. But after watching Aaron Sanchez the last 2 months of last season, I think it becomes extremely tantalizing for the Blue Jays to believe that this is a guy who can be not just a typical closer, who can be a quote-unquote relief ace, you know, like Goose Gossage used to be and Bruce
Sure.
and guys like that. You don't
those
have
guys
to limit
pitched
Aaron Sanchez to the ninth inning.
Yeah, but those guys pitch three innings at a time. Is Aaron Sanchez going to do that?
I don't think he's going to pitch three, but, I mean, he had several two-inning outings last year, and really, I don't, you know, you're trying to kind of keep a guy's innings up. He threw over 100, threw 130 innings last year, and you know you want him in the rotation at some point. I would love to see him be a six- or seven-out guy. The problem is, if you do that, you can't use him four times a week, and you know maybe only every other day, and teams are really reluctant to do that because you know you always want to have access to your closer every time you need your closer. So as wonderful an idea as that is, I don't know how practical it is unless you're using him one day and Brett Cecil the next day and you go back and forth like that. So, but hopefully there will be occasions where you're comfortable using him to get four or five outs if that's what you need. But I really do think that as the days before spring training opens tick closer,
yeah,
Aaron Sanchez is more and more going to be that back of the bullpen guy.
Are you surprised James Shields hasn't signed yet?
A little. I think his demands were probably high given his age and the fact that he's not a, you know, throw through a brick wall kind of guy, and I'm sure that those demands have gone down. But
so many innings, though, Mike. 200 every year since 2007.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's seen as a bad thing.
No, I was saying it as a good thing. Like, and yeah. So many complete games. Like, he's so durable, so reliable.
But the thing is with him, too, I'm wondering how much the playoffs are a red flag for people.
Yeah, okay, so
what,
Clayton Kershaw.
Like over eight for the playoffs?
Okay, so we're docking Clayton Kershaw then, too?
No, Clayton Kershaw had two bad starts in the playoffs, and really
one bad inning.
Two bad seventh innings, yeah. Right, in the playoffs. But James Shields was just consistently not James Shields for the entire month of October.
Yeah, but if you're a team like the Blue Jays, you just want to get there.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about how his failures in the playoffs make one think that he was failing in big games. I'm talking about how his failures in the playoffs may make one think that there's something wrong with this guy.
Mm.
You know, like, I hate to say it, Mike Sorotka.
Mm.
Right? This is a guy who had a tremendous year, was terrible in the playoffs. Turns out those red flags were serious red flags. I don't think they're that bad, like James Shields is never going to pitch again or anything like that. And I think I would be very happy to see the Blue Jays bring him in. If you can snap this guy up for like 3 and 48, which is way more possible now than it was 2 months ago when he wanted 5 and 110, I would be all for that. I just would caution that he may not be the ace that everybody thinks he's going to be.
Yeah, he didn't. even in the regular season last year for the Royals, yeah, he had a bunch of complete games, but yeah, he wasn't ace, you know, 1A Clayton Kershaw. And it helped that he pitched in that ballpark as well last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but he's had success in the AL East, and he knows what he's doing, and hopefully he can give you quality innings. It wouldn't be a bad sign. But again, now all signs seem to be pointing to San Diego, where he's going to go, which, I mean...
You think Kansas City's fun.
Seriously, there's no better place to go than San Diego to pitch and pitch well.
No better place to go to San Diego, period. You could have just ended it there.
This is true, too. But, I mean, if you're a pitcher who wants to put up some serious numbers, there's a reason Brandon Morrow's there.
Yep.
There's a reason Josh Johnson signed there. That's where you go.
Yeah, it does seem like it's a place to go rejuvenate your career. And I guess it would have been for Josh Johnson if his arm was able to stay attached.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it blew up real good. He's going to give it another try, and who knows if that'll work, but that's the place you go.
Hey, Luis Perez is back.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah, I like Luis Perez.
There's not much not to like about Luis Perez. He was a nice guy and an effective pitcher at times, and they looked just before he went down with Tommy John like he could have been breaking through into being that quality relief pitcher, and why not give him another shot?
He kind of had Zach Britton-esque stuff, right? Like lefty, hard sinker.
Yeah, but that's a pretty serious tag to put on.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Zach Britton had one great year, okay? Follow it up.
We'll see if he can. It's not that easy. You're right.
Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball. This is Sportsnet Today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. It happened, Mike. Blue Jays went to arbitration for the first time since 97.
And they're going again next week.
Danny Valencia is so happy. He made an extra $400,000. Blue Jays didn't want to give it to him. He wins $1.675 million. Blue Jays were offering him $1.25, or at least they countered.
$1.2.
I'm reading $1.25.
Yeah, I think they're lying. But the worst part about this whole thing is that we'll never get to talk about Bill Risley anymore.
Yeah.
Bill Risley is now consigned to the dustbin of history.
We haven't heard much. I mean, that one kind of flew under the radar because it is Danny Valencia, right? It's not, I think the Josh Donaldson hearing will make a little more noise. Plus, it's something the rest of the baseball world will be paying attention to because it will kind of set a precedent here because we are talking about a guy who is in MVP consideration the last couple of years and what he is awarded in arbitration, you know, could affect future cases going forward.
If they put up Donaldson numbers. I wonder, and I don't know, what the highest award ever is for first-year arbitration-eligible guy, for a first arb. I wonder if Donaldson wins, will that be the highest first award ever? It might be.
Yeah.
It could be completely wrong.
Mike Trout never made it to arbitration, right?
Never.
Yeah, I don't. I was going to say Ryan Howard. I feel like.
But you can go back and check that pretty easily.
Yeah, on the internet, you can do that.
The internet's good like that.
All right, so we haven't.
But the thing is, and today Jared Parker's hearing came down apparently, and apparently Jared Parker lost, which means it's 2-1 right now for the teams over the players, which is not good news for the Blue Jays and Josh Donaldson.
Why is that?
Well, these arbitrators need to keep their jobs, right? and in order to keep their jobs, got to make it pretty close to even.
Oh, that's an interesting take.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, that's probably true.
They're hired by both sides, and so they have to appear, if they appear to be favoring one side or another, then the other side ain't going to like them very much. So never mind. Ryan Howard got $10 million in his first arbitration.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now you wouldn't pay him one-tenth of that.
Year, then MVP is next year. So
it's amazing how those bad body first baseman sluggers, you know, don't age all that well. It's a shame.
Prince Fielder had an awesome year last year. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, totally did. In the hospital or wherever he was rehabbing. Talking to Mike Wilner. It doesn't look like there's any hurt feelings. I mean, again, it's Danny Valencia, but we don't expect anything, you know, outside of the dollars and cents to affect either side after the Donaldson arbitration thing?
I think that especially since, you know, the way they do it is it's almost like an accountant's doing it.
But they use fancy stats now, apparently, Mike.
I don't think WAR holds any sway at all in arbitration. It's mostly, honestly, still the old fun stuff, home runs and RBIs. And
I think I read that the on-base percentage is now being used, though.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I think that's wonderful. But really, it's accountants doing it. It's not like, you know, in the early 80s when they brought Domiso Garcia into a hearing room and just told him how terrible he was. It's basically, look, this is what this guy did last year. This is what other people did last year who are comparable to what this guy did, and this is how much money they made. This is what first-year ARB guys have done who had similar seasons to Josh Donaldson, and this is the money they've made, and that's it. It's all comparable. Comparable. And it doesn't say, you know, they're not going to say, well, his batting average went down or this, and, you know, this is a weakness here and all that stuff. It's, these are the numbers. This is what people with similar numbers and similar service time made. That's why we made this offer, period. And I, you know, it's way better that way. And it's true that all you need is an accountant to do it, but no feelings get hurt, I don't think.
That's good, because I would hate to see people's feelings hurt.
Well, it's a tough way to start your career with a new team.
Sure, right? But I guess he's not actually in there. It's his agent, I guess, arguing on his behalf.
Maybe even his agent's lawyer.
Yeah, maybe. Deonna Navarro, still a Blue Jay for now, Mike. I guess I'm surprised that he is there, but now, same with Aaron Sanchez. The closer we get to spring training, the more I think he's going to be in the bullpen. The closer we get to spring training, the more I think, you know what, he might just start the season with this Blue Jays team.
Maybe. I still don't think so.
We haven't heard a lot of scuttlebutt, but again, I guess under Alex Anthopoulos, we don't hear it. It just happens, right?
Yeah, we never do. And I don't believe anything is really close with Navarro. But, you know, spring training starts, a team loses a catcher, or a team realizes that the catchers that they have suck, and maybe they're a little more amenable to making a deal. I don't love what the Diamondbacks are doing behind the plate right now. I don't love what the White Sox are doing behind the plate right now. There are teams that have needs, and there are teams that have guys that the Blue Jays could use. So I do think that there's a deal to be made, or at least there will be once we get further along into the spring.
What do you think the Diamondbacks have done overall? First of all, hiring a couple of Blue Jays. Well, Dave Stewart, and then Dave Stewart hired Joe Carter. But the seeming lack of respect for the new school stats, which are, I mean, it's not even, people don't discuss it anymore. It's not like an argument, but apparently Dave Stewart wants to argue it.
If you were Joe Carter, would you be interested in people on base percentage?
No, I wouldn't. Exactly. I would want to talk about RBIs to the hilt.
That's all I would want to be talking about, too, if I was Joe Carter. So, you know, and if you were Dave Stewart, would you want people dismissing pitcher wins? You won 20 games 4 years in a row?
No.
So you have to, you know, to consider the source.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, that in this day and age, someone like that can end up at the helm of a Major League Baseball team, and wish him all the best. Hope he does well. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting that people would make those comments after I think we've kind of moved past that. At least I thought we had.
No, I don't think we have. I think there'll always be those. I mean, just look at I don't know if you were looking at my Twitter feed yesterday, but the Melky Cabrera debate that was being had.
I don't like when you cite the numbers from last year because Saunders didn't play a full year.
I know Saunders didn't play a full year, but you know what? Over the last 3 years, he's got 1,800 plate appearances, and he's got an OPS plus of like 111.
Yeah.
Same as Melky's. But it's less so comparing Saunders to Melky as just looking at the fact that Melky Cabrera is a one-tool guy, and that one tool is batting average. And it's really, I mean, that's a tough one because if he's not hitting, then he's not helping you on defense. He's not drawing walks. He's not helping you on the bases. He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
He's not occasionally jerking a ball out of the park.
Nope.
If he's not hitting for average, he's not helping you. And that's really the only point I was trying to make, that there are a lot of other things that players can do to help a team, and Mike Saunders does a lot of those things.
The only thing that concerns me about Saunders is the lefty splits, but we'll see.
Yeah, but you know what? They may settle into something where he's not playing every day anyway.
Kevin Pillar's got to get some playing time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a team that's going to be very, very good against left-handers.
Yeah, and you know what? Danny Valencia does that very well.
Right.
Absolutely. Justin Smoke, not so much. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, before I let you go, the other thing that was kind of interesting that made headlines out of the state of the franchise was Paul Beeston admitting or talking about the fact that he talked to Rob Manfred about the All-Star game returning to Toronto. And yeah, about freaking time.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It would make sense to me, I guess, Mike, that you would do it in, I guess, maybe the 2018-2019 season when they get new grass, because that's what they like to do. They like to pump up the new stadiums, the newer features at ballparks.
Yeah, it does. It seems like after you have a big renovation or after you have a new ballpark or something, then you get the All-Star game. And I don't know which is the carrot, but... but that does seem to be the way it works. And it is time. I don't know. It seems to me like there's not a real rotation of every 30 years a city gets an All-Star game, which isn't especially fair because a team should only be every 30 years. But it's been 25 or 24 right now, so we're coming up on it.
Yep.
And, it's time to have the All-Star game back here. Why not?
Why not? Absolutely. Why not? I'm with you. And why not get some real grass in there, too?
Yeah, that'd be swell, too.
It's fast approaching, Mike. Pitchers and catchers just a couple of weeks away.
No kidding, huh?
It's
good, especially since we're going to get... how much are we going to get dumped on again tonight with some more snow?
Like 20 centimeters by Monday.
So they're perfect. Good. So yeah. might as well head down to Florida soon.
Yay. Hooray. Okay. Thank you, Michael. Enjoy Dunedin.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll talk to you before then.
We will speak before I go, for sure.